fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors: parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. We're excited once again to have another great show lined up for you. Make sure you keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott. Also, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. A lot of things you're going to talk about today in the world of sports. You got the NBA playoffs getting up going, as well as the NFL draft. And as always, we're excited to have some good friends of mine able to join us in to share some nuggets of wisdom with each and every one of you. Actually, today we've got the NFL record holder for the most accurate kicker in NFL history, Mike Vanderjack, my former kicker there with the Colts, and he's able to join us here today. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem, Freddie. How's it going, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for joining the show.
Good.
Hey, we got another cat here from the Ohio State University, former Tennessee Titan wide receiver right here in Nashville, Chris Sanders, also joining us. Chris, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, man. What's doing? All right. We already started the show off bad, man. It's the Ohio State.
Man, see, listen,
come on, man.
My show, you get your show, then you come call it the Ohio State. We already talked about this yesterday. Hey, Mike, we did a little joke yesterday about the bad memory of some of those Ohio State players, and because their memory wasn't that good, they had to put their names on the back of the jerseys because they couldn't remember, like, who they were. I'm like, Penn State, we don't need the names. We know our IQ is, I'm messing with you.
That's terrible.
I'm not going there with that.
You stink.
But hey, guys, let's get into this real quick. Obviously, NBA last night, I don't know how many of you watched the game last night. It was the last game of the playoff run, gauntlet of games, the Clippers versus the Grizzlies. I was exhausted just from yesterday, and I saw the score. I saw the Clippers down like 27 in the third quarter. I'm like, okay, this game is over. The crowd's going crazy. They had the whiteout going on with the Grizzlies fans all in the white jerseys. And next thing I know, the Clippers came back from 27 down, and the place was silent. Did either of you get a chance to either see it or at least hear about that? I think it was probably one of the biggest comebacks in NBA playoff history, at least within the past 5 to 10 years.
I like you, watched it, or watched most of it. I realized, and not only was it a 27-point lead, but the Clippers looked like they didn't have any desire to finish the game. You know, they weren't really, it didn't look like they had the desire to try to even make a run at it, so I was just like, all right, let me turn this off, and maybe 20, 25 minutes later, I flipped it back over, and I was like, wait a minute, it was a 9-point game, and then they hit two threes when Chris Paul came down and dished it to the guy on the wing, and all of a sudden it was a 3-point game. I was like, okay, maybe I'll finish watching this. It was nuts. It was crazy.
Hey, Chris, did you get a chance to at least check any of that out?
No, I didn't. I saw the highlights, and when I saw the highlights, man, I was like, what in the world is going on? It kind of reminds me of 1999 when the year we went to the Super Bowl and we played the Buffalo Bills to go to the playoffs, and it looked like it was over. And people were leaving the stadium, and we actually came back and won. So it kind of reminds me of that game. So, you know, when I saw the highlights, it was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable.
Don't remind me of that, because you realize where you went a week later after the Buffalo game?
Oh, Indianapolis. That's why I said it.
Oh, yeah. So we can talk about something else.
Hey, but you guys gave it your all. That's all that matters. I'm just kidding.
We gave it a good old college try, yeah. We played great.
Nah, but that was when we played y'all, that was a crazy game, wasn't it?
It was unfortunate because obviously we had a bye that week, so we were sitting back watching Tennessee Buffalo thinking, okay, here comes Buffalo, and then all of a sudden Tennessee rolls into town after coming off a game like that. having a bye. That's why I don't like byes.
I don't like them either. But
to me, it doesn't make any sense to have a team sit there and not play while the other team is rolling in on a high. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, we can talk about basketball anytime.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
Hey, listen, we're having a nice flashback. But you know what, though? But when you think about it, there's a lot to what you're talking about because at the end of the day, what ends up happening is, even in the NFL for the past couple seasons, it's been those sixth seeds, those fifth seeds that end up getting on a run, and they go into, you know, it doesn't matter if it's home, really home field at this point in the NFL really doesn't make that big of a difference unless it's a cold weather team and the team coming in town is a dome team that passes.
Yeah.
You know, so outside of that, if it's a run oriented team, you know, or a play action pass type team and weather doesn't play a huge factor in it, at the end of the day, really anybody could be anybody in the NFL. And obviously you're seeing that with all these different champions coming up or at least competitors. The 49ers a month punt return away probably from being in the Super Bowl themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the league, man, I mean, it all depends on what team is hot at the right moment. If you look at the Giants last year, they were one game away from not even making the playoffs. I mean, that's how crazy it is. So they get in the playoffs, and they're hot, and they're beating everybody. And they go to the Super Bowl. So anybody can beat anybody, just like you said.
Well, not only that, they were 8-7 going into that. What was it, Dallas in the last week? 8-7. I mean, they're a .500 football team that ends up winning the Super Bowl. And even the year before when the Packers did it, the Packers went rolling through Atlanta, and then they went somewhere else, and all of a sudden they're Super Bowl champs, and they came out of nowhere. And look at the Packers this year. They were the number one seed. They were, you know, 14-1 or whatever they were. They had a bye the last week. You know, they're sitting pretty, but then Aaron Rodgers not only sits out the last week of the season, then he sits out the bye week, and then he gets into a game and didn't really look that great in the playoffs when, you know, through the whole season everybody's saying how much Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback better than anybody has ever played quarterback, and then they lose at home. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Well, now that's something else because, you know, when you're playing football, football is so much of a rhythm and a timing game. You know, and it's not something that you can do. There's a reason why, for those of you listening in, this is the Freddie Scott Show where men lead, marriage works, families grow. Listen, there's something about the game of football where you need the off season, you need those mini camps, you need the training camp. There's a reason why, you know, we just pick up and just go ahead and start playing, why we need at least a month of practice before you even start, you know, at least 2 to 3 weeks of practice before you do some preseason games, then you get a month of preseason games before the regular season because there's just so much to the game. You can't just put it down and pick it up after 2 weeks and think you're going to be able to do exactly what you did before. And I think you're exactly right. I think those teams coming in to the wild card rounds, and they're coming in on fire, they're coming in hot, they're coming in rhythm. You know, if the coach has not done a great job of managing that bye week, then we're seeing these number one, number two seeds falling to these lower seeds because of the lack of preparation. Or the other team was just hot, and you can't stop a hot team.
Yeah, I mean, just like in the year 2000, the next year when we had home field advantage throughout, we were 13-3, and all we had to do was win two games to go to the Super Bowl. We ran into a buzzsaw, and that was the Baltimore Ravens, and they were in the same predicament. They barely made the playoffs. They limped into the playoffs, and they wore us out on our home field. When we were at our home field, we had 400 and something yards of offense. They had 76. But we had three turnovers, and that's how they won the game. And then they went to the Raiders, and then they beat the Giants in the Super Bowl. So that just tells you, whatever team is hot and is prepared is going to win.
So then with that being said,
you were on both ends of it. You were on the good end of rolling to the Super Bowl with a hot team, and then you were on the other end of sitting there. I mean, the same thing, we did it twice in Indy. I mean, the Steelers did it to us. You know, we rested our players for the last 2 weeks of the regular season, and then Pittsburgh came in, and we played horrible in 05, and Pittsburgh ended up winning the Super Bowl. Same thing.
Crazy.
It happens all the time. It probably happens more often than not.
You know, the team that's
the fifth or the sixth seed seems to be in the last 10 years going to the Super Bowl more often than the one and two seeds.
You're right. You're exactly right.
I think the thing that really makes a big difference is with this new era of free agency and salary cap, you know, back in the 80s, you know, probably early 90s, where you had those dynasties of the 49ers. You had the dynasty of the, of course, the Buffalo Bills, who went there, you know, four times in a row. You had the Dallas Cowboy dynasty there, where pretty much the team stayed stacked, you know, and even though teams have had drafts and things of that nature, you know, there's a reason why they called them dynasties during that era, because, you know, it wasn't as easy as teams to be able to level the playing field and improve your roster that much to be able to compete against a stacked Cowboy roster with Emmitt Smith, Aikman, et cetera, or a stacked 49er roster back with Montana and Rice and Taylor. And, you know, you don't draft people that can do that. And because the guys weren't leaving teams as frequently, and you didn't have the salary cap casualties back then like you do now, now really each team is really more level or competitive because of the dynamics of the salary cap scheme. And yeah. So really at this day and age, it really doesn't matter where a team drafts.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter, you know, what record the team was. Look at the Detroit Lions. They were 0-16, what, just a couple of years ago, and now probably one of the most improved teams in the NFL, just a couple years removed from setting an NFL record for going 0-16. And so when you can see that type of swing in momentum and success because of this salary cap dynamic, I don't care where you are, if you're a fan of, I don't care if you're a Rams fan, if you're a Dolphins fan, I don't care who your favorite team is, there is a chance, as long as they have some competent people in the staff. We've got a couple minutes before break. Any parting thoughts? When we come after the break, I want us to get into this NFL draft and get your thoughts on some winners and some losers, but some parting thoughts about this level playing field in the NFL today.
Got it.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, you say that again. You want us to do what now? I thought you just wanted a commercial break.
The level was just part of the last 1 minute thought about the.
Are you wanting to go?
Yeah, you go.
All right. I think that's what makes the NFL so popular, you know, because no matter what team you support,
right.
You know, you're a year away from doing exactly what you've been talking about. I mean, the Lions, who were a disaster, are now, you know, probably one of the top 10 teams in the league, you know, and just like the Giants did this year, it's amazing in the NFL, and I think that's why the overwhelming popularity of the NFL over any other sport is just because any team can go ahead and win the Super Bowl 2-3 years from now. You know, you look at baseball and it's so top heavy with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Phillies and maybe the Cardinals, and that's about it. You know, I'm a Blue Jays fan, and there's not a chance in heck that we're going to win the World Series anytime soon, just because there's just so many top heavy teams with crazy money spending. Right. The NFL is so level. There's any team can do it at any time, and that's what makes it so popular. And so the fans just go nuts for the NFL. It's crazy.
And then a quick thing, I think another one that falls into place too is the team that has the least injuries. The team that goes into the playoffs and stuff like that with the least injuries has a chance to win. So
absolutely. You look at Derrick Rose.
Exactly.
Injuries are silly.
You listen to the Freddie Scott Show. When we come back after the break, we're going to have Chris and and Mike go ahead and give their thoughts about the NFL draft. And later on, we have Lyndon Allen coming on talking about some special things for every marriage and family today. Don't miss a minute of this show. You listen to the Freddie Scott Show.
It's all right by me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. We're continuing our conversation and coverage of the NFL draft, and of course, we talked a little bit about the NBA playoffs, but obviously, to me, I know I'm a former NFL player, and the guests are on the show are as well, but I'm sorry, that to see that the NFL draft is still the top topic, even though the NBA playoffs are going on, just let you know how huge football is and how great a job the NFL is doing with their brand and with what they're doing. And so let's go ahead and get into some winners and some losers. And we're going to go ahead and start with the Washington Redskins. All right, we had a nice little chatter going on about this pick, and of course, you know, the Redskins trade up and give up a whole bunch of picks to be able to get the number 2 overall pick to get RG3 out of Baylor. You know, great pick. Everyone pretty much was saying, you know, it's pretty much a toss-up between him and Andrew Luck. You know, these are two franchise quarterbacks. You know, you two can't-miss guys. You know, a guy that in the West Coast offense under Shanahan should be able to do a great job with the quick reads and the boots and the play action, and just seems like it's a perfect fit for his system. And then Mike brought up a really good point that with their third pick of the draft, they had a first-round pick, a third-round pick, two fourth-round picks. With their third pick in the fourth round, they picked Kirk Cousins, quarterback out of Michigan State. Why?
To me,
what are your thoughts on that, Mike?
The pick just makes no sense. You know, we talked off the show that he's a born leader. Okay, you know, at Michigan State, they loved him. Everybody talks about how highly he leads his team, and even when John Gruden had him on his show, he was talking about how you can tell on the sidelines that people just gravitate to him, and now you're going to throw him in the fire with RG3, I mean, you've handed the kid the franchise, and now you've got this guy that everybody is probably going to end up loving. I just think you're going to end up with a divided locker room. And it's not like the Redskins were an elite team last year to where they probably didn't need that many picks and they can go ahead and grab a backup quarterback. Because like Chris said, you know, backup quarterbacks are special, and you're going to need them at some point, and I get that. But you have Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it just didn't make any sense. They had to have had needs at other positions just to help RG3 develop as a quarterback.
Chris, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, I mean, I agree with you 100%, but, you know, just the style of play that RG3 plays, I mean, he's going to run, he's going to get hit, and he's going to take those shots. So, you know, I think they're thinking that, you know, if this guy gets hurt, we still got a quality backup. But then what you just said even adds more fuel to the fire. You got Grossman back there, so... It is kind of confusing, but I don't know what they were thinking. So,
well, if you have Rex Grossman, you've got a guy obviously that's been to the Super Bowl,
right?
Okay?
Right.
And you have a guy that's started a bunch of games in the NFL. You know, he's not going to be a problem for you. He's going to be a good enough backup to get you through a game or two until RG3 gets healthy.
Right. Yeah, that's.
I'm just saying, if that's the third pick you have,
yeah,
there's got to be a bigger need for your team. When you don't make the playoffs a year before, there's got to be needs at other positions other than a second or third string quarterback. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but do you think
you're
they
exactly
don't have
right
in Grossman?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, you don't think they have faith in Grossman, you think? I mean, you know, that's got to be the logical thinking, that if you got two quarterbacks and then you got a first round and a fourth rounder and you got Grossman, basically they're saying, Grossman, you're not in our picture, so they're probably going to trade or cut him.
But, I mean, the whole thing goes back to McNabb. I mean, if you didn't like McNabb, it's because you had Grossman. Now all of a sudden, so you got rid of McNabb. Now you get Grossman, now you're getting rid of him for some fourth round. The whole train of thought for that organization just doesn't make any sense. I believe you could have got a heck of a football player in the fourth round instead of somebody that you expect to maybe play two games all year.
Yeah. I think all of
you are making great points. And one thing to think of is this. You know, you draft RG3, you fly him in, you tell him, hey, you're the face of the franchise now. And then he turns around, looks over his shoulder the next day, and they see that you pick another quarterback.
Exactly.
And so now you're going to have to try to explain why they felt the need to not draft a running back, not draft a tackle, offensive lineman, draft a receiver, not draft someone that can help you. You know, I remember in 98 when we were there with the Colts, Mike. Okay. They picked Peyton Manning number one. Guess what they did with the next picks? From my standpoint, it was horrible because I had signed as a free agent, Torrance Small, signed as a free agent before the draft. And so I'm going in knowing it's going to be Harrison and we had, Aaron Bailey and, Small and myself. And I'm like, okay, well, we got a nice little, you know, stack little receiving core here for new quarterback. Second round pick, third round pick, they pick receivers. Why? Because our first round franchise face of the organization is we're gonna want to stack our roster with all the weapons so that this guy can have every asset he needs to be successful.
Well, and if you're going with that, then the year later, who'd they pick in the first round? Edgerrin James. You know, 2 years later, who'd they pick? Reggie Wayne. I mean, they took care of Peyton. They made sure Peyton was surrounded by talent. You know, and I just think the Redskins have surrounded RG3 with a backup quarterback. I just
here's my mind.
Who was waiting in the cut though?
They go RG3.
Yeah.
They second round an offensive guard out of Southern Methodist, Josh Laribius. They go quarterback and Cousins, outside linebacker. They go another guard. So they did get a couple another guard. They got a running back. Alfred Morris out of Florida Atlantic in the sixth round, another tackle mid-sixth round, Tom Compton out of South Dakota, cornerback. I don't see really a whole lot of help in that draft unless their offensive line was so horrible they drafted three offensive linemen. No real skilled guys, and so obviously they feel comfortable with their receiving core now. And they feel comfortable with their running backs
there,
they have now.
Who's there?
That's what I was going to ask you too. Who are the receivers in Washington? Not only that, but Freddie, if you can look it up.
Right. Who's there?
They just signed the receiver from the Colts in the offseason.
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, but that's
so
one
he was
guy.
Their big,
you know.
We'll see. I agree. I think that they bombed on this one. When you're talking about a part of having a guy and you're trying to groom a quarterback, a part of it is you have to make sure that you're taking care of that guy's confidence and self-esteem, that he's not having to look over his shoulder. When RG3 walked into a locker room and saw Grossman there and even saw John Beck already there, he's not intimidated because you were already there and they picked me because you were here.
Wow.
But when you walk in the locker room and you see now a Kirk Cousins who's our insurance package on you.
Wow, that's a good point, man.
Now you're Kirk Cousins sitting there going, all right, I've been told I'm a second-round pick. You know, that's going to be a great opportunity to go somewhere and compete for the starting job. And all of a sudden he's sitting there going, Washington Redskins select Kirk Cousins of Michigan State, and you're like, what? what am I going there to compete for? Obviously, in his mind, he can't think he's got a legitimate chance at starting.
No.
You know, they gave up the draft for RG3. They're not going to even allow you to start. Even if you're better, they're not going to start you. You know, his mentality can't be, I really like where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Any other team, big loser, of course, the Colts pick a quarterback with the first pick and Mr. Irrelevant, quarterback with the absolute last pick, which I found that kind of interesting. Just, and for those of you who may not understand, yes, it's great to be drafted, but the talk about opposite ends of the spectrum. The contract for the first round, the first pick of the first, of the draft versus the last pick of the draft. Life is going to be entirely different for those two gentlemen. But anyone else that you want to talk about, any big winners or losers in the draft? The Cleveland Browns, of course, they traded up to get their running back.
Steelers.
Oh, you want to go to the Steelers.
I don't like the Steelers, man, but they rolled out, man.
Steelers, Mike
Chris
Adams Brady. Out of the Ohio State University.
No, say that again slowly. The people need to hear that.
No, we're saying it slowly because Ohio State Buckeye fans is slow in processing information. they get Sean Spence, the outside linebacker.
Wait till you get to the fifth pick.
Chris Rainey out of Florida.
Come on with that.
Chris Rainey out of Florida.
One of the fastest guys in the country, 999. Come on.
Hey, that could be a huge weapon for
Roethlisberger. And Washington could have picked him up in the fourth round.
Wow. That's a pretty impressive pickup right there. Anybody else pick up? Obviously, the Patriots pretty much picked all defense because their defense was just horrible last year.
I like their first two round picks. I think those are great. I think Tom Brady's got it all set up on offense, and I think that's exactly right. They needed defense bad, and I think they got two studs in the first round, and I think they are going to make a difference. That's kind of an organization that you look at, and you're like, you know what? They do it right. They seem to do it right every year. You don't look at them and go, oh, my God, they did this or they did that. You look at them and go, yeah, smart picks. I like what they did. I like what the Colts did in their second pick. They almost gave Andrew Luck a security blanket with his own tight end from Stanford. You know, that's a good pick for him. They're probably boys. They can probably hang out together and really mature as teammates coming in there because I'm sure they're both going to be expected to start with how Indy cleaned house. You know, they got rid of Dallas. They got rid of Tammy, who's going to Denver. Obviously, Peyton's gone. You know, those two guys are going to be the face of the franchise for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think that's huge to be able to give your quarterback comfort in the locker room, unlike Washington. But to be able to see, you know, the Patriots, going back to the Patriots real quick, they picked Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower in the first round, 21 and 25th pick overall. I think that's a slam dunk. But then when you consider overall what the Patriots did during the free agent signing, I mean, they've got like nine receivers, all of whom should be 1, 2, or 3 receiver on any other roster. I mean, they are stacked at receiver, from Ocho Cinco to Gaffney to Wes Welker. These guys are so. They honestly use the free agency to go ahead and stack the deck on offense, and then use the draft to go ahead and get young, but get aggressive and really, really potentially very good. If Belichick can use receivers at cornerback and coach them up, what can you do with a guy that can actually be a cornerback or a defensive guy? Hey, guys, this was fun. They're telling me we're going to have to go to break.
Dang,
we're going to have to do this again.
Really, I got to go to work,
really,
man.
Soon.
All right, fellas, it was fun. Take care, Chris.
Take care.
Good talking to you,
guys. Okay, thanks, man.
When we come back,
right, we'll
Linda is going to be coming back talking about some specific things about were you injured before you had started your relationship with your marriage? Did you have some pre-existing conditions that was never dealt with? We'll be right back right after this to talk about
it. It's all right by me. Oh, yeah. It's all right by me. Yeah.
Your Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you once again for joining us. If for questions, the call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. Feel free to make sure you keep the conversation going on Twitter, following at Freddie Scott. Use the hashtag love and lead. Love and lead, and also don't forget, anywhere iTunes is, you can follow the show on iTunes right there to your iPad, iPhone, your computer, wherever iTunes is, you can take the show with you, share it. Let people know about this show. We do all of this for you, and we appreciate you taking the time out to listen and share and spread the love across the country. One of the things that comes up when you start talking about the NFL draft, I'm not sure if you've seen any behind-the-scenes footage on what happens with the draft. But the very first few days of the draft, before the draft, is the combine. And at the combine, you know, not a whole lot of time is really spent on the field, really, with your measures of your 40 and shuttle run and all of that. You literally spend the most of your time with the medical staff. Well, why is that? You literally, and I remember this like yesterday, walking around in nothing but my shorts, feeling like a piece of meat, going to all 32 teams, doctors and physicians, where they pulled up your medical history from at least high school, sometimes back before then, depending upon if you had some things they needed to check into. But from high school through college, every time, any chance they had in there, oh, you twisted your ankle, oh, you pulled this hamstring, oh, you had a dislocated shoulder, oh, your elbow is sprained. Whatever injury that you ever had, they go through and they check it, they double check it, and they triple check it, each team 32 times. You go through, you're getting x-rays, you're getting MRIs, they're doing assessment on, okay, is your left arm as strong as your right arm because after this injury? Yeah, we know it happened 3 years ago, but let's see if it's where it needs to be. Why do they do that? Because regardless of what potential a player might have, every team knows that if a player has a pre-existing condition, an injury that has not healed all the way, an injury that has gone untreated, an injury that, though it's healed, the likelihood of it getting hurt again, the likelihood is high. We need to understand that, and even if your potential is on the field is great, I can't take the chance and draft you at the one or number two. Your value might drop down because the likelihood of success is decreasing because of the pre-existing condition.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, in our lives, many of us have pre-existing conditions that go untreated, that go, we don't deal with it, but we don't realize that it's impacting the opportunity for success, not just in our lives, but also in the lives of our family. And I've got Lyndon Allen on the line again to talk about this, about some pre-existing conditions that many of us, all of us, going into marriage, going into relationships, as we just continue to grow, we all have baggage that tends to be undealt with, and those things can literally be the reason why we're not as successful as we can and should be, just like NFL player may not be as successful because of pre-existing conditions. So, Lyndon, thank you so much for joining us once again to talk about this topic as we bridge this conversation from the NFL draft to how this can impact our family today. Thank you.
Oh, glad to be here, Freddie. And only you can seamlessly connect the two. That's just brilliant. Brilliant, because you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Freddie. The number one pre-existing condition in the hearts of men in our culture today, that they go into these relationships with, particularly one of the greatest games of life, is your marriage, because nothing else matters after your marriage and your children. That's the first thing, first and foremost, after your relationship with the Lord. But the number one pre-existing condition that I found in my pastoral counseling and in my own life is fatherlessness.
Whoa.
And fatherlessness as a pre-existing condition in a man's life can spell sheer doom in his marriage, because there are four major woundings to fatherlessness. Mm. Most men hit the first three. Some men go into the fourth. Here's the first one. The first one is anger. Why are fatherless guys typically angry? They're angry because by age 21, they are hurled into the middle of life, expected to go to college, expected to hold down a job, expected to do certain things with their family, expect all kinds of expectations on top of 21-year-old men. And if they're not prepared between 12 and 20 for those expectations and have manhood declared over them, they'll enter into the middle of life unprepared. It's like being in the middle of the Super Bowl. You're in the stands watching the game. Your team's quarterback goes down. The coach comes to you in the stands. Now, you haven't even read a playbook. You haven't even seen a down. You haven't even practiced. He throws the uniform on you, helmet, and puts you in the middle of the game. Now, what's the defense going to do under that situation? Everybody's coming in. Everybody's coming in. You're going to get blitzed. Three downs of blitz, punt. Three downs of blitz, punt. And eventually, in that
if
kind of circumstance, you'll get angry because you don't know what to do. You just get angry, winding up on your back all the time. So fatherless guys are angry all the time.
You know what's interesting, and those of you who are watching, we are really at an epidemic right now in our nation. Currently, at least 40% of every child born in America today is born to an unwed mother. That's nationwide.
Mm.
Then, if you're African-American, guess what that number jumps to?
Wow, what's that?
72%.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
72% of African-American children born in America today are born to an unwed mother. So you're talking about young people growing up without their biological fathers in the home, usually.
Mm.
And so you're looking at, again, these scenarios of people not being prepared for the opportunities of life. It's
okay.
Not that the opportunity isn't there, but if you're not prepared to be able to take advantage of it, then guess what? You can be scared and angry because you didn't prepare me. Look at this just clear illustration. Peyton Manning, we were talking about the Colts draft in 98 earlier on, talking about the whole RG3 pick with the Redskins.
Oh, right.
Peyton Manning had a father involved, His father also played in the NFL, of course, Archie Manning.
Archie Manning, Saints.
So when Peyton gets drafted, Peyton isn't shocked about the opportunity. In fact, his father probably had a conversation that probably went a little something like this. Hey, Peyton, we see that, you know, you've gone to Tennessee and your career has gone well, and obviously the scouts have come back and it says that most likely you're going to be a first-round pick, which means you're going to be the face of the organization. You're going to be the face of the franchise. You're going to be the face of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the things that's going to happen with that. Here's the expectations. You kept
Beautiful.
Talking about expectations.
Beautiful.
Here's the expectations of the owner of that team
mm-hmm.
who's going to be
mm-hmm.
paying you a lot of money. Here are the things that you need to make sure you do to make sure that that relationship is what it needs to be
mm-hmm.
so that you can maintain a close relationship for a very long time.
Mm.
Here's the expectations of the general manager. Here's the expectations of the head coach. Here's what your team is going to expect of you. Here's what media is going to expect of you. And here's how you need to handle your money to handle
Beautiful.
The expectations
Beautiful.
Of people around you that's going to be trying to feed off of you.
You know what that's called? That's called discipleship. That's called
Wow.
discipleship. And it looks something like this from 12 to 20. You know, when a son approaches his dad and says, hey, dad, I'm looking out at age 21, and I kind of see some Goliaths. You know the story of David and Goliath, you know, big opposing opposition. You got a Goliath ready to challenge you in your marriage, a Goliath ready to challenge you in your finances, your schooling, your calling in life, even in your health. I mean, it would take you out with all kinds of drugs, unfortunate accidents because of bad decisions. Goliaths on all of those major fronts of life. And it's imposing to a 12-year-old because he sees it coming because, you know, it's only 8 years away. Now, that is the father's clue. Okay, I got to start manhood training. Son, don't worry about those Goliaths. Let's work on this little thing right here. Clean your room. That's like a little bitty rabbit. That's not even a Goliath. If you're hunters out there, that's just small game. Clean your room. That's easy to do. I miss Dad. Try it again. Miss Dad. Try it again. Got it. Good boy. Now he's affirmed at 12. Then he moves on to something more responsible, like, okay, let's mow the lawn on a regular basis. Let's vacuum the house. Let's get a job. Now he's 18 with more responsibility placed on him. Son, you're driving now. I'm going to put a two-ton vehicle in your hands and trust that you'll go from A to B without any foolishness between the two. And then he's 20. Son, I am proud of you. You have reached the milestone. You have gone through the training. I now dub you a man. Welcome to the community of men. You're not a boy anymore. I'm calling you into manhood. Now, with my sons, Freddie, I said, look, 18 does not mean man to me. You may be a legal adult. You can go fight a war. But that doesn't mean you're a man. Manhood is pronounced and transferred man to man. And that takes intentionality from a father to a son. Now, the second wound is this, Freddie. Because he's angry, this fatherless guy, he's angry all the time, and by the way, they're out driving and operating heavy machinery with this anger on them. That's dangerous. Because he's angry, he can't live up there. You know, God did not design us to live systemically. If you develop a little anger scale, maybe say 0 to 10, 10 being rage, and most fatherless guys live at level 8. I call it the smoldering ember of irritability. They just kind of live there.
Mm-hmm.
And when a little gasoline drop of a problem comes, kaboom, they blow mm-hmm. up little things, inordinate responses to very little things. Why? Because they got all this pent-up rage because I'm in the middle of life and I'm not prepared. And just tense. So in order to unplug from all of that, they got to come down. They have to come down because God didn't design us to live up there. On an anger scale, God is like slow to anger, Bible says in Exodus 34. He lives down around 0. Takes him a long time to bubble up. Doesn't say that he never gets angry. It just says he's slow about it. And that's the pattern for us. So since we're not designed to live at level 8, we got to find a way to unplug. Enter in wound number 2, addictions. Fatherless guys are typically addicted to something. They have to find a way to escape from real life. Otherwise, life is going to keep them choked at level 8. So they find their addiction. It could be work. It could be pornography. It could be drugs. It could be excessive interaction, even with sports.
Mm-hmm. It's something that you immerse yourself in as to avoid.
Yeah.
You know that we're going to pick this up right here, and we definitely want to hear 3 and 4 right after the break. Do you have pre-existing conditions? As we're talking about this, are there certain things that you're thinking of right now that, whoa, I haven't dealt with that. I haven't thought about that like that. We're going to keep this conversation going right after the break.
It's all right by me.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. The call is free. If you have questions for myself or Lyndon, feel free to call us at 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. We're talking about the four wounds of fatherlessness, and do you have any pre-existing conditions in your life? Earlier on in the show, we had Chris Sanders and Mike Vanderjagt on the show, and we're talking about the NFL draft and just had a lot of great conversations, but along those lines, those guys that just got drafted came through a whole process called the Combine, where the medical staff of all 32 teams found all the pre-existing conditions of those players and made sure that they were whole and healthy and ready to be able to have a sustained career in the NFL, and that they weren't going to have a shortened career because of that pre-existing condition. And many people today, as we talked about in the last break, before the break, that many people can identify with this wound of fatherlessness.
Mm.
And this is a wound that unfortunately doesn't just go away, but is something that can be healed.
It
is something that if you identify this as an issue, don't run away from it, don't avoid it, but realize, okay, I need to be equipped and find a way to be equipped in spite of what may have happened, and so that I can be able to pass on this lineage, especially if you're a man. I want to pass on to my children what it means to be a man by becoming one, not just having the size and the deep voice and the capacity to procreate. That doesn't define being a man. And so Lyndon, let's go ahead and keep this conversation going as far as you were talking about addictions right before the break. As the second attribute or wound of being fatherless.
Yeah, addictions come into play because if a guy is angry, he can't stay at level 8. And this is a hypothetical scale that I've created. Level 8 is that smoldering ember of irritability, so that when a small problem hits your life, boom, you're flying off the handle and people are wondering, why do you get so angry so fast? I mean, that's just just a flat tire. Why are you throwing tools and spouting out expletives? So in order to escape systemically from that type of existence, a fatherless guy gravitates to some kind of addiction in order to escape, in order to move into some fantasy realm that allows him to have some semblance of control. At least I have control here. And addictions start to show up, like drugs, alcohol, even work. Guys finding more victory at work than at home, so they stay at work because I don't have any victory at home. Or getting involved in pornography and getting involved in being too tied. Now, God does not mind a man enjoying life by watching football. The problem is when you live your life through somebody else playing football or playing basketball, which you have this kind of vicarious indulgence in someone else's success because you don't have your own. That's dangerous. Watching a game and enjoying it, that's fun. But living your life kind of secretly, man, I wish I had that contract or I made those millions. Go out and you can do it. God has giftings in you that can cause those very same things to happen to you, maybe in another arena. But addictions can cripple a guy. Now, the third wound is this. Because the greatest terror of a fatherless man's heart is being discovered that he doesn't have it all together. Mm. Being discovered or being exposed, like, wait a minute, you don't have it together. That is terror, because now, oh, the gig's up, because a lot of fatherless guys throw up facades to give the impression, hey, I got it together. And look, fatherless men can be dirt poor or multimillionaires. Multimillionaires. Now, whatever you are, when money comes, is amplified. If you're a wretch, when money comes, your wretchedness will be amplified. If you are a righteous, God-fearing, humble man, well, now you can amplify that humility by helping others with the resources that God's given you. So fatherlessness does not run across, there is no respecter of economic scales. It's no respecter of economic scales. So they don't want to be exposed. So consequently, they tend to walk alone, Freddie.
Mm.
Aloneness, not necessarily lonely, but they'll hang around with guys that have the same condition, because a secure man can spot off a fatherless man very easily, because the woundings are so predictable. It's casebook. I've gone through this for years now, counseling men in this area. And it's easy to spot, but it needs to be lovingly dealt with. And if they fear that it won't be lovingly dealt with, they'll hide.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll hide with other guys that have the same problem.
Now, what is this about men that tend to, and I know the answer, but I'm trying to set it up a little bit. What is this about men that makes us want to try to figure it out on our own rather than ask for help?
You see, it's actually a guy trying to lead but having not been discipled. He's kicking in the leadership chip or the leadership gear, which is right. Now I'm going to try to figure this out. We're going to bust through. We're going to make it. That is an admirable attribute. What's wrong is is when it's not couched in humility, when you don't have the answers, you find out where they are and you humble yourself in front of the information that you're trying to acquire. One of the most humble acts a man can do is to read a book.
Uh-oh.
It's just read a book.
Hold up. You mean it can't just be on the end of my remote and I just watch it? ESPN can't do a special on it and I just watch it?
Man, I'm sorry, Freddie. No. You shut off certain parts of your brain. You know, you use more of your brain watching or washing dishes than watching TV. Look, I am not a prude. I'm not going to declare some moratorium on watching television. That's ridiculous. But you need to have balance in your life. If you watch excessive amounts of images, you literally shut off the left side of your brain where the neocortex is responsible for producing images. You then overstimulate your right side of your brain with an endorphin wash of norepinephrine, epinephrine, serotonin, oxytocin. Those are all God's feel-good opiates, but if you cause yourself to constantly being dipped in these feel-good opiates, you literally can become addicted to television.
Mm.
And that's been medically and scientifically proven.
And so then there's a problem if I can't turn off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't just sit down and let me write down my thoughts. You know, I did have that dream. I did have that idea. Let me write that down and spend some time meditating on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we go to work, and then instead of being focused on the things, the objectives, and the vision that I know I'm supposed to be working on, you know, the issues that I know I need to be dealing with, let me go ahead and flush that out. I go ahead and tap into that addiction and
mm-hmm.
absorb myself mm-hmm. with TV,
mm-hmm.
with whatever activity that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what happens? I go to bed, I wake up, and I'm in the same state that
same
I am today.
Same spot, and your wife is frustrated. I've been there. Freddie, and it's cost me.
We've got one minute before we close. I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to be able to connect with you and even be able to share the fourth. We said there's four wounds of fatherlessness, and if you want the fourth wound, I want you to connect with Lyndon. Where can people connect with you and let them know about your ministry and what you're doing and how to connect with you?
First of all, they can go to TotalLifeVictory.com. That's TotalLifeVictory.com. Or reach me directly at Lyndon, L-Y-N-D-O-N. That's L-Y-N-D-O-N at TotalLifeVictory.com. That's Lyndon at TotalLifeVictory.com. Love to hear from you. And we'll chat about this fourth room. It's a serious one. But the top three, I would say 80 to 90% of guys are hit by the top three.
And, you know, thank you so much. This has been a great, great show. And thank you for sharing your insights and expertise on how do we deal with some of these pre-existing conditions that too many people are waking up today, right now, in this state of fatherlessness. But it doesn't mean that our children tomorrow have to wake up in it.
Mm.
We can make the decisions today to truly love and lead our family. And today I'm making the decision
mm-hmm.
to identify my pre-existing conditions and deal with them so that they don't become a pre-existing condition for my children in the future. This is Freddie Scott. We'll be right back next week, back and better than ever. This is the Freddie Scott Show.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.